In May of 1961, I went to a church-sponsored retreat. And I don't remember anything at all about the retreat. What I can tell you is that on the way home, three of us from Luling, Texas, where I lived at that time, were traveling together. I was driving. A normal guy in the back seat, sitting to my right, was an alcoholic with 2.5 years of sobriety on the AA program. And I finally got up enough courage to ask him, and I asked him in a joking manner, so in case he laughed about it, I could laugh too. I asked him in a joking manner if he thought the AA program could do anything for me. And he didn't laugh. And he thought about it for just a minute. And he said, gee, I don't see why not. So I began to ask a question or two, and before I'd said more than two or three things, I turned to the guy in the back seat. And I said, Robert, if you ever mention a word of this conversation, I'll kill you. And he must have known I meant it because he lives to this day and he has never mentioned it to me or to anyone else. Maybe he didn't understand it. I don't know. But or maybe he believed me. The guy next to me was John B., who became my sponsor. John and I talked about the program. I have no idea what we talked about. What I do know is that we went through on the way home, a little town named Bernie, a German-American community in the hill country of Texas, a lovely, lovely little town, and they have a great German bakery. And I stopped there, as I always did, and I bought the same stuff I usually bought. And miracle of miracles, I never ate a bite of it. When we got back to Luling, we split up and went home. Within an hour or two, John was back at my house, and he brought me a chip. And he said, I realize this is just a little piece of metal. As you can see, I still carry one in my pocket. But he said, I want you to realize that it's going to become very important to you. And I give it to you to keep and to hold and to have. As long as you don't break your diet, we never heard of abstinence at that stage, of course. But he said, before you break your diet, you have to throw it away somewhere where you cannot find it. You can't just toss it out in the front yard where you can go out there in the morning and scratch around and find it because it's ruined. You have to throw it away where you can't find it. And it became and still is something very meaningful to me. I like the thing I hear once in a while now that says that If you're having trouble and you feel tense about eating, put your hand in your pocket of your purse and feel of your chip. And if that doesn't do it, well, feel of the side that has a serenity prayer on it. And if that doesn't do it, take it out and read the serenity prayer. And if that doesn't do it, say the serenity prayer aloud. And if that doesn't do it, put it under your tongue, and as soon as it melts, you can eat. During the 24 hours following that conversation with John, I had an overwhelming spiritual experience that has changed my life every day from that day to this day, whether I was abstinent or not. Did it happen because I worked the steps? No, because I'm not even sure at that point I knew what the steps were. I'm confident that I knew that there were steps, but I doubt that I had any idea what they were. What happened was that I was desperate, and I was in contact with someone who had what I needed. Instantaneously, without any effort on my part whatsoever, I understood that John wanted to drink for the same reasons I wanted to eat, and that drinking had been doing to his life the same thing that eating was doing to my life, and that somehow or other for 2.5 years he had been able to not do that and to not do it happily. And by God, I wanted whatever it was he had.